How did the Henry I know survive this? On a cold, gray, dismal day in October 2013, my husband and I visited the Auschwitz-Birkenau State Museum. After hours of poring through documents in the archives, we spent 3 hours touring the institution's two primary sites, Auschwitz I, originally a Polish army camp before the Germans repurposed it as a concentration camp, houses the museum and offices. The massive Birkenau, or Auschwitz II, built 3 kilometers away to hold more than 100,000 people at one time, stands mostly empty and silent, save for tourists. My husband and I, and our private tour guide Magda, remained the only 3 humans at the lonely entrance to Birkenau as the camp closed at 7 o'clock that evening. Most tourists avoid the uncomfortable cold, not realizing this is the truer experience of a concentration camp. As we stood near the arched entry over the train tracks to hell, I shivered. Not from the fading daylight and rapidly dropping temperatures, but from the chilling presence of the ghosts of more than 1 million murdered innocent souls. Each cried out to me, "Do not forget us." I met Henry Zguda in November 2002 through a phone tip, a call I considered a lucky break. I regularly sought out interesting people, organizations, or events in the community to write about, and was out of ideas for my regular column in the Phoenix newspaper, The Arizona Republic. I called him and scheduled an interview for 3 days later, knowing only that he was Polish, had survived 2 German concentration camps, Auschwitz and Buchenwald, and claimed to have attended school with Pope John Paul II. He lived a half mile from my home. After our first meeting, I became fascinated with what instinct told me was a compelling story at risk of being lost forever. Henry had no siblings and never had children, which partly explained my boldness in calling him up soon after the first interview. There seemed to be no one else to hand his stories to. Henry, what do you think if we write a book? With that one simple but incredibly naive and impulsive offer, Henry and I began a series of twice-weekly interviews that soon became a growing friendship. I developed a fascination for how someone who had endured so much had lived so well and without apparent bitterness. Henry talked, and I listened, occasionally interrupting with questions. We always met at his house on a screened-in patio, seated around a metal table topped with papers, photos, and a strategically positioned bowl of snacks. The patio allowed us to close the sliding glass door to the kitchen, so his wife Nancy couldn't hear the most brutal stories, though I later learned she knew quite a few. The mutual chemistry and Henry's faith in me meant we openly discussed almost anything. "Why bring up all the negative? I am alive. Forget about it." Henry said these words more than once. He expressed surprise at my consistent interest in listening to some of the harshest stories. "Aren't you tired of all this?" I never was. Henry and I quite simply clicked, and I basked in the atmosphere of love he and Nancy so clearly shared.